Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk Podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell, your Jam That Champion, and I'm joined as always by my intangible co-host making his triumphant return post-Chicago. You bastard. It is Tempest the Wrestler. How you doing, mate?
I don't have a crown to point to anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, I have it. It's down there. I just can't wear it because I got headphones on. Stupid. AirPods died. Yeah, I feel like my life is really being divided up into pre-Chicago and post-Chicago right
now.
Makes
sense. Yeah.
Everything just feels different. There's a different like filter that's been put over the world through my eyes right now, having gone through such an experience like that. But yeah, I'm hanging in there, Pete. I'm a little tired.
That's good.
But
I was going to say, still recovering, most likely, but yeah, still doing well. That's good. So I will very quickly get to some emails now, because I'm going to assume that the rest of the podcast will be, tell me about your time in Chicago. And then you can tell me some stuff about what happened. Because I've seen various pictures. I've seen things that happened. So I need to know all the details. Okay. But first I'll do an email here from Dave that says, Pete/Tempest with 2 exclamation marks at the end of it. There is a third Uso. Just noticed that the Uso's real-life brother, Joseph Fatu, has been signed to a developmental contract. As he has 2 years' experience, do you think he'll head straight to SmackDown for the Bloodline storyline and learn on the job in the same way Omos did? Also, will he be Joey Uso? Regards, Dave Parker. P.S. Love all the channels and work you guys do. L.I.W. for life. Thank you very much.
I have no idea. My guess would be that they are not interested in fast-tracking a whole lot of people to the main roster. They've never really done that unless it's like AJ Styles or somebody. You know, they usually want to at least give people some time at the Performance Center to figure out the WWE system. So I would probably lean towards guessing that. As far as when he does show up on the main roster, if he shows up on the main roster, I don't know what they're going to call him. I don't know if they'll lean into the Uso thing or if he'll be, you know, Joseph Fatu or whatever, but they might do it. I don't know.
I think it'd be weird if they just called him something Fatu and just ignored the Uso relationship, considering that their entire characters are kind of based around family right now. It would just be a bit weird, wouldn't it?
I mean, yeah, but the Usos and Roman Reigns, they've all got work names too.
Oh, yeah, totally. But I mean, they should just fit the work name with them rather than just be like, hey, this is Jey Uso, this is Jimmy Uso, and Mr. Fatu.
Yeah.
And they're all brothers.
They've done that before. I don't know. We'll see.
Whatever. But yes, thank you. We've also got one here for an email from Falafel Guy that says, hi, Pete and Tempest. I'm emailing in after listening to your NXT review and hearing all the Poe talk. I have attached an image of some street art that has been posted up on the side of a building along my bus route out of Birmingham City Centre. No idea why. Size makes no sense either. Hope you enjoy. Also, happy birthday, Pete. It's not my birthday. Let me see if I can upload this real quick because I did just download it.
Hosted?
But now I don't know what I saved it as. So I'm having trouble finding it.
Falling apart today.
Dude,
you've been here for so long.
I'm all over the place, dude.
You got here so early.
I did.
What's happening?
Because I've been busy. There's a reason I needed to come in early. It's because I had work to do, and I've been doing that work.
This right, is ready? Work. Yeah.
It sure is.
Oh, my God.
There it is. Look at that street art.
Why is it a good black and white Poe with a really long antenna?
I don't know.
It looks like a spoon or something.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Poe spoons need to be a thing.
Yeah, it's like a Poe swizzle stick.
Spoons? Is that what they be? Spoons? Spoons? Poe? Spoons? It almost works.
You'll get there.
Yep, I'm sure I've just got to keep trying another 7,000 times and I'll definitely get it. Yeah, that was weird. But thank you for sharing, Falafel Guy. And let's get to talk about NXT, and then we're going to talk about Chicago afterwards. So yeah, let's talk about NXT, because it was Dexter Lumis's bachelor party, and there was a zombie there. Do we need to provide context? No, because WWE doesn't. Let's talk about it. Tempest is dancing. He's having a good time. We went to Chicago.
I did. I sure did. I got a shirt.
You know, I didn't say Tempest. I watched this episode of NXT this morning. That's what I did. And I was so confused by a lot of things, but mainly by this. Because we had Dexter Lumis' bachelor party, which at times made me laugh. I thought it was quite funny. The axe throwing bit was very funny, I thought.
And accurate. That's actually yes. How you throw an axe. So I was like, points for detail.
It's very good. And it fits in with the whole Dexter Lumis being a serial killer thing. It was really funny. And then there was a bit before that when they went go-karting and they just had a zombie with them. And they didn't explain it. He was just there. It was a referee who was a zombie until he wasn't. All right. Yeah, sure. I was so confused. And me and I was in the office watching NXT today. And it's just me and Adam that are in today. And I was just leaning over to Adam. I was like, Adam, can you help me out here? Can you help explain what's happening with this zombie man in this segment right here? And he couldn't. He couldn't explain it. And I was saying, I eventually did a little bit of research, and it's a throwback to Halloween Havoc, when it was Dexter Lumis versus Cameron Grimes, and I had some zombies in that match. It was dumb then, but, you know, whatever. It's throwback. Cameron Grimes was here at the bachelor party, and Dexter Lumis was there. Continuity means there's a zombie, all right? Sure. You know what? Sure, fine. Let's go with that. And then I said to him, Adam, can you explain to me what the joke is, please? And he couldn't, because he said, probably it's WWE going, you know what would be funny? If there was a zombie. And that's about as far as it goes. And he said, mechanically, everything he knows about comedy, there isn't a joke. There's no setup and payoff. There's nothing funny about it. It's just the fact that there is a zombie. And it was so weird. I didn't know what to make of it at all. Oh, man.
I just...
What? Why is that? What is a show? And I think it's what made it even more funny for me is going from the contrast of the high of All Out and having all of the debuts in the world and all the things making sense and having like all this storyline continuity and Adam Cole joining the Elite again and all that stuff. And then you watch NXT and it's just, and there's a zombie. Cool.
Zombie ref, baby. My God. Like, yeah. I saw it and went, whatever, and just put it out of my mind. I didn't think about it again because I was like, no, I'm not going to let them do it to me. I'm not going to let them bring my mood down because it's just as dumb. And like all morning, I've had people say, like, yeah, it's from Halloween Havoc, as if that explains why there's a zombie. Yeah. That doesn't explain anything. No. It's like, so, okay, that's why they did it. Like, that's the beginning part of the explanation.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what's the rest of the explanation? What is the joke? It's like, nah, it just doesn't exist.
I don't know. I don't know. I couldn't stop laughing at it because it was just to do. But then he wasn't a zombie because okay. Yeah. So let me actually explain what happened. So it was they had two separate segments of the night. They had the bachelorette party for Indy Hartwell and had the bachelor party with Dexter Lumis. So you had Cameron Grimes, you had Odyssey Jones, Drake Maverick, Dexter Lumis, Johnny Gargano, and the zombie ref.
Was this Daryl Sharma? Yeah. I couldn't quite tell through the makeup and whatever. But it was this Hornet, because that's my guy.
Sure.
You remember the one ref that just started doing PWG spots in the middle of a yes. tag match a few
yeah,
months
yeah,
ago?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the same think, guy, yeah.
Yeah, then that's Daryl. Yeah, that's my yeah. guy.
Which, you know, sure, whatever. So they all go karting with Zombie Man. And sure. They do some go-karting. Dexter Lumis crashes. Johnny Gargano overtakes him and he wins. Then they do the axe throwing where Dexter Lumis corrects Johnny's axe throwing because Johnny just can't get it right. And Dexter corrects his throw and he gets it. And he just does a very funny little like thumbs up afterwards, which I laughed at. I thought that was very good. Then they did some laser tag against some random jabronis. I also really like this of Dexter just not using the lasers at all and just choking people out for then Johnny to come up and then zap them once they were already dead. That was funny. Oh, that was good. And then there was the zombie just started saying, see, Dexter isn't as bad as you think. And then someone said, wait, you're Canadian? Is that the payoff? Is that the payoff to the zombie being there?
He just was pretending to be a zombie the whole time, I guess.
Was that a dare? Was that a bet? They say you need to come to this stag do, but you gotta be a zombie for it for continuity purposes. I just find it so funny. I just find it hilarious. And I know people are going to take it way too seriously and be like, oh, you're criticizing the show too much and you're overthinking or whatever. I just find it so funny. I'm not even mad about it. It's not even like, oh, the show sucked because of this thing. It was just absolutely hilarious to me. It just was so weird. Just so out of place. Because they didn't even acknowledge him at all. He was just there. Being a zombie, everyone was like, okay, let's go do a bachelor party. It's like, none of you guys are going to comment on the actual zombie that's there.
I ignored it like they did, honestly. Yeah. You know, because I gave this segment a 5 out of 5 in the edited review.
Yeah.
Because it was one of the few examples of them actually having one of these Dexter Lumis segments have like a very clear motivation and yeah. very clear idea behind it, where he's trying to win over Johnny Gargano and he does that in each little section of his bachelor party. And by the end, he accomplished that goal. Perfect. Boom.
Done.
We yeah. did like 3 months of Dexter Lumis segments that didn't start anywhere, didn't go anywhere. They didn't make any progress with anything. And it was a waste of time. Ever since they got together, the little bits every week have all, like, made sense. They should have just been doing this the entire time. Mm-hmm. But this was, like, this is exactly what I want. That being said, why did they have, like, a 12-year-old's birthday party as a bachelorette party? Like, I get it, it's a PG show, but, like, you yeah. couldn't at least have them, like, shot from the outside coming in and out of a club or something? I don't know.
I don't know, man. It's funny. Nope, wrong one. This one. Peace upset that WWE has zombies, but Adam Cole is a zombie in AEW, thinking emoji. But is he? But is he a zombie?
AEW. He was resurrected. I don't know if that's the same thing.
And also, it's all very tongue-in-cheek. In AEW, it's not literal.
Can you imagine? He's not
an actual zombie.
Can you imagine? Adam Cole's music hits it all out, and he comes out, baby. Can you imagine?
Comes out dressed like the Yeti.
Yeah.
As like a mummy. And, oh man, that would be, you know, so funny.
I would guess that they could make that work. Like, they probably could do that, and it would be funny. Like, the VTE stuff. But, yeah, anyway.
But good. Regardless, the Bachelor Party segment itself, I thought was very funny. I thought, like you said, it achieved the goal. Thought it was pretty good. It was, it was good. Good stuff, all in all.
They did the way thing.
And I, you know what? They did that, and I went, well, that's good. I legitimately got like, oh, awesome. They did a thing, and they made it make sense. They had a purpose, like you said. It was all very good. Yay. This combined with like this episode having a much more of a focus on the in-ring stuff was also a good sign, I think. Good. Let people do a wrestle. Yeah, I thought this was a pretty solid stuff all in all. Regardless, I really don't have anything else to say about that segment because I feel like we've exhausted all there is to say about it because there was just a zombie there.
There was just a zombie.
Until there wasn't.
There was a zombie ref. I don't know why. Oh, well. They did a bachelorette party, too.
Oh, they sure did. We might as well talk about that now. Why not? Where
it was a terrible bachelorette party. Oh, my God.
They sat around a table, and Caden Carter and Casey Catanzaro were too busy doing a TikTok. And there was some other
people. They're so obnoxious. Yeah. They're so obnoxious, and they're supposed to be the baby faces at this table.
Yeah.
I hate them.
Yeah. The thing is, I just hate TikTok as a whole. So inherently they go, oh, they're the TikTok tag team. I go, cool, I hate them. Thanks.
It's not just TikTok though. If this was like 6 years ago and they were Viners, I'd hate them too.
Yeah, you know? 100%.
There's there's a lot of really there's a lot of really funny content on those platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter aren't making it. They're just annoying.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Sure, whatever. They did some stuff. Candace was very happy for Indy all of a sudden.
Indy was like, you were a mentor for me. Thanks, Mom. And she was like, aw. Okay, thanks. Hug.
Cool. Yep, no worries. Awesome.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But regardless, let's get into talking about the rest of the show here, which started off with a nice long match between Ember Moon and Kaylee Ray, which was nice for both of them to get a nice long match, as I'm glad they're actually doing some wrestling with Kaylee Ray and not just like, here's a squash match, here's a squash match, here's a squash match. So this was good to see, and it's nice to see Ember Moon getting in a nice long match as well. That was also nice to see. Kaylee Ray eventually won. There was a really cool ending sequence filled with like roll-ups and counters and roll-ups and counters and going back and forth and back and forth. All looked very, very smooth into the gory bomb, and Kaylee Ray got the win. So yeah, there you go. It was good.
I really like this match. I really, really like this match. And again, I said this in the edited review that I would kind of criticize Ember Moon for not doing anything in NXT, kind of like how I have been for the last few months. Her NXT run has been butt ass, but that's the direction they're going with the actual storyline. So I'm willing to give that a break if it's being done for a point. I don't know that it's going to lead anywhere better, but at least they're giving me a little bit of hope that that might be the case. You know, she did an interview later on in the show saying that she hasn't won a match since losing the NXT tag titles, and you know, it's just not been a very good time for her and stuff like that. And yeah, it hasn't. It sure hasn't, Ember. I don't think she's ever really had a great run in NXT. Like, Kaylee Ray said something like last week where she was like, you were a dominant NXT champion. And I was like, where? Show me where Ember Moon was a dominant NXT champion. Because that was not the case. But as for this match, I thought it was great. Kaylee Ray's getting put over strong. You're getting to know her moveset a little bit better and not just in the confines of a squash match. Now she's doing it in actual matches with a good opponent. I don't know what's not to love. They got like 15 minutes to open the show too. It was really good. Really, really good stuff.
Yeah. And I think I got both of them a bit more over as well. Not that, you know, Ember Moon's already over to a degree because she's pretty great on her past successes and stuff. But this was good. I really enjoyed this match. It was nice to see people doing a big long wrestle on this show. So yeah,
there you go. I like that.
Yeah,
I like people doing the wrestle.
Yeah, exactly. After that, we got the Bachelorette Party from Indy Hartwell that we've already spoken about, and then we got yet another match of Carmelo Hayes versus Santos Escobar. The point of this match, realistically, was to get over Electra Lopez by the end. Both of these were good, and it was nice to keep the plate spinning of Carmelo Hayes following the breakout tournament and stuff like that. But I think the idea here was to show that Electra Lopez is effective as part of Legado del Fantasma now. She makes a difference to the team, which she did. She body slammed Carmelo Hayes behind the ref's back. This made me laugh quite a lot, where Joaquin Wild and Raul Mendoza distracted the referee. Electra Lopez grabs him, body slams Carmelo Hayes on the outside, stands over him with her jacket off, like breathing down on him. And the referee turns around and goes, that what happened? It's like, you're not working out. Carmelo is on the floor. She's standing over him. Okay, do you want to work this one out, ref? But regardless, it was pretty cool. Santos then won with a Phantom Driver, got the win over Carmelo Hayes. Thought this was good stuff. Carmelo losing isn't a terrible thing, especially when it's by distraction like this. They're putting over the new person that's joined the new faction. It was all good. Kept the plate spinning on Carmelo becoming a regular in NXT now, not just the breakout guy. So that was good, I thought.
I don't agree with that last bit. I don't want him to be just a guy losing matches and such.
Yeah.
You know, like, he wins the breakout tournament. He's getting a title shot. That's a big deal. And then he loses. Why is he losing? You don't have to have him lose. I love the match. The match itself I thought was great. And these two are two guys that I think will mesh really well together. They've got fairly similar like cruiserweight styles where they're a lot more like high flying and agile. And it's really good stuff. And I really like the match. But why are we beating the guy who's getting the title shot?
Yeah, that's fair.
Like,
I can believe that.
It's the same sort of thing that has been going on here for like a while where it's like, oh, someone's getting set up to challenge Walter. Let's beat him. Don't do that. Just don't do it. Just don't do that.
Yeah, that's
you know, fair. It just feels like very WWE booking. Like, hey, this person just won Money in the Bank. Let's have him go on a losing streak. It's like, you don't have to do that. That's the opposite of what you should be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but focusing on the positives, this is a very good match. I feel like this Hit Row Legado del Fantasma thing has been going on forever. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's been going on since before Swerve won the title. Mm-hmm. And that was in, like, June. That was, like, three months ago. And typically by this point, we would have gotten a match already.
And like, I know... They did the six-man tag, but...
Yeah.
We won the North American title match between Santos and Swerve, right?
Yeah. And I know I criticize WWE a lot for doing, like, the multiple rematches, and I'm not advocating they do that here by any means. But it feels like, what are we waiting for here? We went through a takeover that probably could have used, like, another title match on it, and we didn't get it there, and it just kind of feels like we're spinning our tires a little bit. Like, let's pick up the pace a little bit.
Yeah. And in response to, I've seen a lot of people saying they want like an intergender war games. That would be in November. That's another 2 months of this story.
Terrible idea. Like, yeah, because you can't, it breaks the idea of like the man advantage deal, right? Because like if you start with the women and they're going at it, well, then a man comes in and he can't fight the woman, right? Mm-hmm. So like, what do you do for the next, maybe he just like handcuffs her to the cage and lets the other woman do the thing, but even still, that's wonky. And then similarly, if you have all the men go in first and then the women come in, none of the men can fight the women at the end. It's just like, because WWE doesn't like doing intergender stuff, I don't really think an intergender war games match would work.
No, me neither. I agree wholeheartedly. After that, we then had a Diamond Mine promo introducing the Creed brothers, who were there last week, but then saying it was Malcolm Bivens just basically saying that they're here now and they're going to have a match later, which we'll get to in a bit. And then we had the announcement of a Fatal 4-Way number one contenders match between Pete Dunne, LA Knight, Kyle O'Reilly, and Tommaso Ciampa, which will take place next week. That should be a very fun match, I would think. And I would assume if his contract situation is sorted, Pete Dunne's going to win that. Probably. And if it's not, then I guess he isn't.
What a strange time we live in, isn't it?
Right?
Pete Dunne and Kevin Owens now. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, man.
I don't know. I was watching, this is unrelated a little bit, but I was watching a clip that Alex McCarthy had posted on Twitter just of the Adam Cole Karrion Kross promo, the one that was really famous from like a couple months ago.
Yeah.
That man really just buried the champion 6 feet under and dipped.
Should
you know what? Props to you, Adam Cole. Just said, I'm better than you. I'm the best there is. And now I'm leaving.
And now I'm good. And I'm going to go be the best somewhere else. Yeah. Legit.
Respect. Mad respect. Yeah. I don't know what Pete Dunne's going to do, but we'll see. I'm looking forward to a match with him and Ciampa. That sounds fun.
Yeah. That should be good. That should be good. Pretty good fun. Creed Brothers then had a match. These new Diamond Mine recruits against some enhancement talent. Didn't write the names down because it didn't really matter. They won pretty handily. I thought their introduction was okay, and I feel like Diamond Mine is starting to get a bit of a an identity. They're starting to get a little bit of an identity now, which is good. It just feels very weird to me that I thought what they're going for is super MMA training style thing, and they come out and wrestle in singlets, which is very, very wrestling, like amateur wrestling style. I would have thought they'd have come out and, you know, like UFC shorts or whatever. I thought that would have been a bit more... Sure, it just felt like it was a little bit of a mixed message between like, oh, we're pure wrestlers and we're MMA fighters, and I feel like they're different things, but they feel like they're the same thing. But regardless, I thought the Creed brothers looked pretty cool. They had some good intensity to them. They kind of threw the other guys around the ring quite a lot. It was good, solid stuff. I didn't think it was blow away by any means, but it was good. It was solid. And I feel like if they continue down this path, Diamond Mind is starting to find an identity, and they need to just keep following down this road that they've paved now.
I agree. I think that they have done a decent job this week of introducing these guys in the ring. My only real, I don't even know if I would call it an issue necessarily, but this presentation of these two guys is like it's very generic and it's very basic. And I think that works for like they're being introduced. They're like new recruits going into the gym. So it's almost like Young Lions in New Japan, where they're not given a bunch of gimmicks right away. Yeah. They're just wearing black trunks and everything like that. So I'm with you so far. I think that works now. But if this is just going to be them forever, I think you might run into a little bit of a problem because, like, the presentation is fairly generic. They look fairly generic. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a couple of guys, basically. They're big guys, for sure, but I mean, like, they don't got any tattoos. They don't got, like, cool hair, facial hair, or, like, a distinguished look or anything like that. So if this goes on for a while, I think it runs the risk of them becoming kind of like Dash and Dawson or whatever, where it was like, I don't know which one's which and it doesn't matter. There's no personality traits between either of them. So that's something I would keep an eye on looking forward. But for just a quick 3-minute squash debut, I thought this was good.
Yeah. And an idea I'd like your opinion on. What do you think if that's the point? If they're supposed to be kind of not very distinct at all, they're diamond mine products, and maybe like Creed Brothers, maybe they don't work out and they get in a couple of other guys that are also generic stand-ins and just be like, this is the diamond mine style. You're going to dress like we want you to dress. You're going to wrestle how we want you to wrestle. You're going to have no distinctive features whatsoever. But that's the signature diamond mine style, is you wear the singlet, you do this style and you win. And it's just like a factory of them producing diamond mine style wrestlers kind of thing. I wouldn't hate that if they start getting more and more people in and they all kind of follow this generic pattern. And then you have like Roddy Strong and Malcolm Bivens up at the top, and like they're the only ones in like tracksuits or whatever and being like the cool guys at the top. Maybe Roddy Strong gets something a bit more distinctive about him, gets a unique hairstyle or whatever. So he's the distinctive one out of all these like sea of generic faces kind of thing. It could maybe work. There's maybe something there, I reckon.
I think there's potential in an idea like that. It's just like, I don't know that I have a lot of faith in NXT to go that direction and like stick with it, you know, idea I think is solid, where it's just like, no, you're not going to be flashy. You're just going to win. We're not going to teach you how to be a showman. We're going to teach you how to be a fighter, and we're going to teach you how to win. Yeah. I like that idea, and I think that works. If it is stuck with, and they do that with multiple people, and make sure to nail home that that's the idea, I think that works. But it just seems like a very WWE idea to be like, well, that's what we're going to do, and not explain that part. We're just going to do the they look generic part and then not explain it afterwards. So I like the idea. I just want to see them like commit to it.
Yeah, for sure. We then had a little thing of Zoe Stark and Io Shirai getting ready for their match, and they still aren't on the same page. Cool. Ember Moon then cut a promo. Yeah.
She's a loser.
She sure is.
She's sad about it.
Yeah. Cool. I'm glad they acknowledged it. You know, that's good. Referencing your own continuity is good.
Sure.
There you go.
You just have her not be a loser, though.
Yeah, totally.
You know, like there aren't a ton of challengers right now. Like there's Kaylee Ray, there's Frankie Monet, and after next week, Frankie Monet will be at the back of the line. So it's like,
which is wild, because I thought Frankie Monet was going to be the one to dethrone Raquel Gonzalez, but now they just go, and she has a title match next week, and you go, well, she's not winning then, is she? Goodness me.
Sure isn't. It'll be Kaylee Ray.
Yes, totally, yeah.
They're going a lot harder with Kaylee Ray than they've gone with Frankie Monet or Saray or anyone else.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
We then had a Hit Row promo, which was good. They're always good. They're Hit Row promos. I love them.
Yeah. They cut a Hit Row promo on Legado del Fantasma. I feel like we've seen this a few times now.
Yeah.
I've said this a lot before, but it struck me again today. I really love when promo styles are all distinct. You know? Like not just like the person cutting the promo, but like the presentation of the promo. Mm-hmm. Like Hit Row does theirs in a studio, and that's cool. Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa do theirs like in front of a garage door sitting in chairs. And it's like that one's not super distinct, but it's still kind of unique. You know, like no one else does that. And because no one else does that, when I see it, I was like, oh, is it Tommaso Ciampa promo? Like, it instantly clicks. And I've always loved that kind of thing. And that extends to like Malakai Black doing that in AEW. That extends to when the Shield showed up in WWE and they were doing the little handheld camcorder promos. Extends to Tyler Breeze doing his selfie promos. I love that kind of stuff. It makes everyone feel like so much of a bigger star. So,
yeah.
Minor detail I just wanted to point out, but I like that.
We then got the women's tag team title match between Kacy Catanzaro and Kayden Carter versus Io Stark, Io Shirai, and Zoe Stark. We got Intangible Tempest.
We sure did.
And oh boy. So Kacy and Kayden's intangibles were evasive, disciplined, feisty, and agile.
You know?
I think
those are all adjectives.
Annoyingly, they are.
So they got it right here. I was hoping that they would go like two for two with the other ones, and then they didn't do that.
No,
but
they really didn't.
For here, they started off strong. I would have put like annoying or something because they're very annoying with their stupid TikTok dances and everything. But
does that class as feisty? Is that similar? They're just like.
I've never looked at someone doing a TikTok dance. It was like, oh, they're so feisty. It's like, no, I'd be like, oh my God.
But they are disciplined.
Swear to God, if they start flossing in the middle of one of these matches, I will turn off the show.
Oof, don't.
I will turn off the show.
Don't say that. You know they watch this. You know they watch it. And then we had the intangibles for Io Shirai and Zoe Stark, which were fearless and strength.
They have fearless strength. Fearless strong.
Stop. Please.
Also. And that's
literally, they've just done. Io, fearless. Zoe Stark, strength. Done.
Why does she strength? Why does she have strength? Everyone has strength. They're all wrestling. Whatever. I don't care. I don't care. Sure. I don't care. No, nope, don't fine. Care. Before we get into the actual match, Dion Schwartz has an excellent point. Can we get NXT security to throw out fans that just scream at the top of their lungs?
God.
I was going to tweet that and everything, but I just like, I don't want to put negative energy out there. But for God's sake, I have like a list of matches in my head that are ruined for me because of annoying ass fans. And now this is one of them. Mm-hmm. The friggin' Brett and Bulldog match at Wembley when the person with the frickin' blowhorn is doing the thing the whole match. And then Edge and Eddie Guerrero have their great, one of my favorite matches of all time, their no DQ match on SmackDown. There's just some goddamn woman screaming at the top of her lungs the whole time. Ooh, shut up. I promise you. I promise you, NXT security. You can throw these fans out and they will not get the upper hand on you. I will love you forever. Please.
Yeah.
Get out of the CWC, please. Charge admission. Do something.
Yeah. It was really bad. And I genuinely couldn't tell whether it was on NXT or whether it was someone screaming outside at the office. And I kept like having to pause and I'd be like, what the hell is going on? And then I'd play again and then the scream would start again. And then I'd pause and be like, the hell? Why are people screaming? And then I'd play and I'd go, oh, it's in the crowd. Oh, that's bad. Stop doing that. I hated that. But in the match itself, the champs retained eventually. The whole story of the match was how can they coexist? And then they kind of did. They didn't initially. There's a lot of like hard tags and blind tags and stuff like that. But, you know, yeah.
I thought the match was whatever. Good.
It was good.
The match and the action was really good. You know,
I really like Kacy and Kayden's tag team offense. Once they started doing like a lot of like double team moves that they do together, I think they look really good.
Yeah. They have a lot of very good like high flying stuff. And the opening sequence of this match when they were reversing all their moves and everyone was like doing a cartwheel and a handstand and a round off back handspring and everything like that. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. This is really good stuff. I don't get the Io Shirai Zoe Stark thing at this point. Like, it's one thing if you're like, I don't know, pick a can they coexist tag team where it's like, that's the gimmick that like they don't like each other, but they're forced to being put together like Angle and Benoit back in the day, where it's like they hate each other, but they're great, and they're forced to be in this tag tournament, and now they're going to go and they're going to win the tag titles and everything like that. If Io doesn't like Zoe Stark, just don't be a tag team. And it's not even to the point where it's like, I don't like you, but we work well together, so let's be a team, and we're going to win matches. She went in there, and she was just like, I'm not going to tag you. I'm going to do this by myself. It's like, it's a tag team title match.
Mm-hmm.
That's the gig here.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I don't know. I don't get it. I've never got it, because they've never given us a reason for her to dislike Zoe Stark other than her being a terrible person at a sushi restaurant. But like,
other than her being very racist, yeah. But like, if this was their first tag team match together, story makes total sense. Sure. If Io was like, I don't want to be in a tag team with you, sure, I'll fight because, you know, I want to get my payday because I want to win, but I am going to do it by myself because I really don't want your help. They're tag team champions. They've been teaming a few times now. Like, sorry, you're champions now. Yeah, and it's like you got to actually like defend your belts and be a tag team now. So the whole thing of them being like, I don't want to be a tag team, it's like, well, stop being a fucking tag team then. Sorry for the swear. I don't know.
Yeah,
that wound me up.
Yeah, I withheld my swear during the people screaming rant. Yeah,
you did. I'm a bit out of it today. I didn't have the self restraint. Also, Jonathan Edman, Tempest beat hate fans. That's the new headline. Yes.
I hate screaming fans. I sure do.
I hate fans. Unless they're in Chicago, in which case the crowd is great.
Oh my God. I fell asleep last night watching the clips that I recorded just of people freaking out at like the Lucha Brothers winning and then Adam Cole debut and the Suzuki Kazunina Ray bit. Like, that's so cool. Dude. I want to go back. I want to replay that night just over and over again.
So good.
Yeah.
But after the match itself, though, we got the new faction of Gigi Dolin, JC Jane, and Mandy Rose. They then beat up Carter and Casey on the stage, and Mandy Rose has a mask on. All right.
She's LeBron. She's broken-nosed LeBron.
Yep, or Brandon Cutler, or Cody Rhodes.
I was going to say that, damn it.
Yeah.
You know, she would be a really good person to just do like the undashing Cody Rhodes gimmick again. Like, yeah. I feel like that's one that they could kind of recycle through and do again. Just have someone who's like, you know, a hot blonde, break her nose and have to wear a mask and everything. Just be like, I'm pissed off. You made me not beautiful. You know, yeah. Do that with like Carmella or something. I don't know. I just saw it. And I was like, it's like, you could do that. That'd be all right.
Also Sheamus. Thanks, chat. Forgot about that one. And that's like now.
Sure.
I don't watch Raw. But I do have a question. I know they're a bunch of heels.
Mm-hmm.
Did they have an interaction with Casey and Caden before?
I mean,
or Casey did they and just Caden beat them up?
Casey and Caden beat them to win this title shot like 2 weeks ago.
Right. Okay. Because I was like, why aren't they just beating up Saray? Because she's the one that did the thing. And I know they beat her up last week backstage. But I just figured if Mandy was a bit mad about the whole nose-breaking thing, surely she would have just gone after Saray again, because she's the one that did it. It just felt a bit weird, but I guess it makes sense if they beat him for the title shot.
Mm.
Sure. Why not? I forgot that happened, I'll be honest. We then got a promo from Kyle O'Reilly. Cool. Again, a lot of these promos were just like, and they did a promo.
They sure did.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, it was all right. I mean, yeah. I'm still not super into Kyle O'Reilly's promos and everything.
No.
We'll see what happens next. You know, there's something about the delivery of, like, the end. It just felt contrived.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, Jay Williams, just want to say, no, they didn't have a championship contenders match. A number one contenders match makes sense. Because you have two teams that want to go for a title shot, they face off, and whoever wins gets to face the champions. A championship contenders match is when you face the champions for a chance to face the champions, which you're already doing. That's why it doesn't make sense. I hate championship contenders matches so much. They're one of those things. There's one of those things that, you know, you have Dexter Lumis, and that just kind of grinds it. Well, the index story for the most part in months gone by was your thing that just got under your skin and it just made you so mad every time. Championship contenders matches is that for me. It just makes me so angry that they fundamentally do not understand storytelling at the most basic level to have championship contenders matches. They literally, it's anti-storytelling is what it is. Also, sure I found out that they're going to be doing Tegan and Nox versus Tegan and Nox, Shotzi and Nox versus Tamina and Natalya again in a championship contenders match, bearing in mind they already beaten them in a championship contenders match. Thank you, Tempest.
I leave for 1 week and this happens again?
Apparently. Yeah. Apparently that's what they're doing. I didn't actually see it.
I can't watch SmackDown. I can't work under these conditions, Pete. I won't do it. I can't watch this friggin' match 4 times.
I haven't seen the announcement, but I saw Sean tweet it. Just be like, they're having the fourth one.
They have to be trolling.
And he was saying, so like, they've beaten them 3 times. So they're doing another championship contenders match. And they're just expecting us to just forget that they've already had one. Like, man. Oh, that's SmackDown.
I saw four great wrestling shows this week.
You sure did, buddy.
4 of them. Hours upon hours of wrestling matches. And I do not have it in me to watch Tamina and Natalya lose to Tegan. Fucking time! I can't do it, Pete!
Oh, boy.
There's my one. Oh, my God. One.
It's fine.
It's
anyway, Kyle O'Reilly did a promo. Then we had Dexter Lumis' bachelor party that we already spoke about.
How did we get to Natalya and Tamina.
I don't know.
From Kyle O'Reilly's promo.
I don't care.
Nothing to do with anything.
We're just ready on a drop of a dime to just talk about anything that annoys us. We then had Mei Ying make her in-ring debut. And this was a debut. You know what? It was mildly better than I thought it was going to be because I expected absolutely nothing. It was fine. She did her thing is the little nerve pinch thingy. It's not really a choke. It's the thingy that someone else used to do that I forgot. Is it Meng used to do that? Sure. So, whatever.
Meng. They're just combining them. Meng.
Meng and Meng.
Yeah, do you think that years from now they're going to look back at this debut as a Mei Ying classic?
Oh, that's good. That's good, Tempest. That's very good, mate. It was fine. I expected nothing, and it delivered slightly more than nothing. So there you go. Expectations exceeded.
Sure.
I have nothing else to say about it.
I don't really care about Mei Ying. I kind of lost my mind about Mei Ying and Tian Sha and everything like a couple weeks ago. Whenever Boa lost to Zion Quinn or whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care. And seeing the debut of Mei Ying, I'm just kind of like, all right, she's been sitting in a chair for like 8 months. I'm over it.
And hey, to be fair, just from her demeanor that she's had for the past however long, I was expecting kind of a very slow, methodical style of wrestling. She did a cartwheel, and I was like, whoa, cool. There you go.
Yeah, it was more than I was expecting, but I can just already tell that this is going to be a character that I'm not excited to see wrestle. And that's the thing, because I don't like spooky wrestling. That's just me, you know? I don't get excited to see that kind of stuff, so...
But when Tempest, you got excited about Adam Cole and he was resurrected from the dead.
True. That is very spooky. I would be very scared. I talked to Adam Cole. I should be a lot more scared than I was.
True. Anyway, whatever.
Mei Ying, baby.
Mei Ying, baby. We then got an LA Knight promo. Okay. And then we got MSK getting ready for their tag title match. Then we got a Ciampa promo. Okay. And then we had the main event of Lorcan and Birch versus MSK for the tag titles. Intangibles. Lorcan and Birch had Striker, Resilient, Brawler, Grounded. I don't know what half of those mean, but that's okay.
I feel like the intangibles should be for them as a team and not just listing four of them that you can clearly tell, like, you can't be Striker and Brawler and Grounded. Like, these are ones for different people that they've just put together on the same thing.
Yep.
Figure it out.
Yeah. Whatever. MSK, High Flying, Speed, Heart.
Speed.
They also
take a lot of speed, and then
you can literally measure speed. It is tangible.
It is one of the most tangible things.
It is quantifiable and therefore tangible. Sure. Whatever. High flying is also not an intangible. That's a wrestling style. That's not an intangible. That's just their style of wrestling. Sure. Whatever.
Speed.
I don't care.
Speed.
Sure. My first note about this match was MSK win.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. It was fine. It was a good match. It was fine.
I like this match. I like this match a lot. You know?
Yep.
I thought that Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan, I always want to call them Danny Lorcan and Oney Burch. I don't know why. I know that's not their names. But every time I sit down to do the edited review, I'm just like, yeah, and Danny Lorcan and Oney Burch. And I'm like, damn it, again. That being said, I thought that they really did a good job of, like, bringing out a lot of the potential of MSK here. Like, Wesley in particular, they did a sequence in the corner where I was like, hell yeah, Wesley, you're doing a really good job tonight, brother. Good for you. They just had a lot more to them tonight, I thought. And they haven't had a whole lot of matches where they've looked really strong. The Ciampa and Thatcher, their match, they didn't come out of that match looking super strong. They just kind of eked out a win, but it was still good. Here, they were just a better team, and it was really, really good. I liked seeing that a lot, and they actually got me at one point. I thought Birch and Lorcan were going to win the tag titles when they both had the submissions on them. That was a good little spot. And then they just fought back and won. And I was like, hell yeah. Very good main event.
Yeah, it was good. Also, you may have heard me laughing just at this comment. There's no way to measure speed. Yes, there is. Pete's thinking of momentum. Those are two different things, buddy.
Yeah,
you can measure momentum. You can. Yeah. It's also speed equals distance over time. Literally a formula. Literally a formula to measure speed.
It's one of the easiest things to measure.
Boy.
Thanks for pointing that one out. That was good.
That made me chuckle. but then after the match, it was all about the post-match angle. MSK won, retained their rage. I just read the chat and saw the word rage. Retained their titles. We then got the shock turn. Oh no, Ridge Holland and Pete Dunne turned on Lorcan and Birch. I could not care less. I'm sorry, like I'm really interested in these four together. I have no interest in seeing them turn on each other. There's no reason for it. It's WWE just going, sure. Unless they're going to release Lorcan and Birch, which, sure, why the hell not? You know, I wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if they did. I don't get why they did this in the slightest. I just think they're much worse off. Both sets of them are worse without the other two with them. I don't get it.
Yeah. The only real thing, and it doesn't even make sense, because like I guess you could do like Pete Dunne and Ridge Holland as a tag team, but you could have done that anyway and still had them all be together. I really don't get this. I mean, I'm hoping that Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan don't get released. I don't want to speculate about potential releases or anything like that, but that would make me sad because I love this tag team. I think they're totally underrated and just one of the better tag teams WWE has. But, like, why'd you do this, guys? What's the upside here? They're more interesting as a four-pack here than they are as two separate duos. Yeah. And it's just like, I don't get it. I don't get that. I love the main event, but the post-match, I was just like, why did you have to do that? Like, it wasn't like a, oh no, a heel turn moment. It was just kind of like, oh, why'd you do that? I don't want to see that. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. I want to see them together. Exactly. Danny Burch came back like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever. I still love this show. I gave this show a 5 out of 5 in my edited review because I really like the wrestling on the show. Yeah. I like the wrestling, and I like the Bachelor Party segment. There was someone who was just like, oh, why didn't you lead with the opening match? So you gave that a 5 out of 5. Haha, Mark, I gave the Dexter Lumis thing a 5 out of 5 too. So stick that in your fife and smoke it.
Yeah, I'll be honest. It was fine. I'm struggling to get invested in NXT. That's my thing. I really struggle to enjoy the shows these days because even if something's great, I'm like,
I can't tell if I've crapped out or if Pete has. Is it me? Is it me, fans, or is it Pete? Oh no. Because he's just staring at me now. Uh-oh. What's happened? Oh, okay, it's Pete? Okay. Oh, God. Sorry, fans. I was like, because I know that I crapped out during my swear. So I was like, I don't know. Is it me? I'm just going to let Pete go in case he was still talking. So I'm just kind of like, oh, I don't know. Anyway. What did you all think of the show? I'm seeing a lot of 4 out of 5s. Pete's trying to come back. Oh, Lord. I had a really strange interaction where I was like, I don't know if it's my internet or his internet or what.
See, the thing is, I could still hear you, but you couldn't hear me. And then both the cameras went off, but I could still hear you. And I was like, well, this is terrible.
Well, that was a fun way to end the show. Yes, I agree. Sure. I'm having a very hard time getting invested in any storylines, but there weren't really any storylines on this show. There were just wrestling matches, and I like wrestling matches. You know, like I went to see GCW on Friday, and I don't really know about any of the storylines that they've got going on other than like Matt Cardona and whatever, and he wasn't on the show. So I was able to watch it and just be like, just give me some great wrestling matches and I'll be happy. And I feel like that's what we got on this episode of NXT. So this gets a thumbs up from me.
Well, let's see what you guys thought. Let's get into your Ultra Chats here. Last chance to get those in at rostertalk.com/support. We'll read out all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. The intangible one, Cliff Beard, says, Zombie Ref is Canadian, and as a Canadian, I can confirm I've met people who act like Zombie Ref was acting. Sure. Also, Mayings finisher isn't a choke. It's Haku/Meng's Tonga death grip, which I think is supposed to be a nerve hold. Yes, that is what it's supposed to be.
Sure. Cool.
Charles Berg. Hey guys, it's only a coincidence, but Marvel's new What If episode is zombies. It was way too short. So maybe NXT has a big Marvel fan in the writing room, or it's a leftover zombie from Priest versus the Miz that integrated into society like Shaun of the Dead. Yes, probably that.
I would like any of these to be the actual explanation.
Yeah, totally. Literally anything would have been fine.
Yeah, like the ref just got during that. No, none of them are going to be good because zombies aren't real. Stop doing stupid hokey BS. But yeah.
At least make it was. And all they had to do was literally just be like, you know, if Cameron Grimes was there, or they had to be like, hey, do you remember that match you and I had at Halloween Havoc? Well, just to remind you of it, we brought along this guy. Look, we made him dress up like a zombie. He's not actually a zombie. He's dressing up like a zombie and he's going to commit to it for the whole thing. It's like, that's fine.
And I don't think we really even touched on it, but like Cameron Grimes and Dexter Lumis like did a truce when he showed up. I like that. That's attention to detail because like I was so prepared for them to not acknowledge their history at all and just to do their bachelor party, and I would have been like, these fools, these guys feuded last year and they're not even gonna mention it, and then they mention it. I was like, oh, look at that attention to detail. Good for them.
That's good.
I don't know why any of the other geeks were at that bachelorette or bachelor party. Like, what does Drake Maverick or Odyssey Jones have to do with Dexter Lumis?
They're fun people.
Have you ever seen a show? Like, the first one that comes to mind for me is like The Flash, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you watch The Flash at all.
I haven't seen The Flash, no.
Okay. Well, they do a wedding angle in that show, and mm-hmm. at some point they do a bachelorette party for the mm-hmm. the main female lead, right?
Yeah.
And the writing in that show is so bad that the only people that were at her bachelorette party were her dad's coworker, the other girl that works with The Flash, who they acknowledged they were not friends.
Nice.
And then a chick from another series, the chick from Arrow. Those were the only people at her bachelorette party, right? Because she was a poorly written character that had no character of her own, had no friends. Why do none of the people on this show have any friends? It's like you just grab the most random collection of people and be like, mm-hmm. well, they're not doing anything. Bachelor party. Or in Andy Hartwell's case, at least they acknowledge that she doesn't have friends and she's mm-hmm. been a heel, so I'm okay with that part a little bit more. But like, I don't know, it just reminded me of stuff like that where it's like poorly written character has no friends of their own.
Yeah.
And they have to have a party, so let's just have a bunch of people that they don't care about at the party.
And hey, Dexter not having friends would totally make sense because he's creepy. You shouldn't uh-huh. have any friends, so just don't have anyone there. That could be part of the gag. See, that's a joke. That has set up a payoff. That's actually a joke, having that there. And you acknowledge it. That's fine. Ten Ruzza says, hey guys, sorry I didn't watch the show today because I can't bring myself to watch it now. I will check it out next week. But yeah, don't know about it now. Also, Kevin Owens has me fantasy booking. So many people leaving WWE to AEW. NXT releases is interesting. It is. The people who've already been released, I assume, not more of them, because we don't really like people losing their jobs, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, I would not like to see that. And by the way, for most of the people here, I've seen a couple of people say, like, oh, talk about hanging out with Denise and Sean, talk about karaoke, all that sort of stuff. That conversation will likely be happening on the Friday podcast with Luke and Denise. I don't know if that's news, but I think I'm going to be on that. So if you want to hear a bunch of all-out Chicago stories and everything, that's going to be where to go. Yeah, Kevin Owens, right? Like, I've been saying for a while that, like, after the Adam Cole, Daniel Bryan, possibly Bray Wyatt batch, I was like, okay, maybe now we put, you know, the signings away for a little bit, focus on your roster that you've got, and we can go from there. And they're like, well, Kevin Owens is going to be a free agent. And I was like, okay, one more. One more. You know, I'm still with it. Like, as soon as they tell me a new name, I was like, oh, I want to see that. I don't know that Kevin Owens is going to AEW. He's been a very big, like, WWE guy. Like, even before he signed with them, I've seen interviews of him being like, yeah, everyone's dreams to go to WWE. Granted, that was 7 years ago, and a lot has changed since then. But, like, I don't know. What Mount Rushmore of PWG.
Yeah. And he was saying, apparently he said in, like, a 2018 interview, he was just like, I don't see a reason why I can't live out the rest of my career in WWE. Which was the year before AEW was founded. So, like, I don't know, things might have changed. It's the same thing with Adam Cole. He was saying, like, the post-media scrum, just being like, oh, yeah, you know, like, I've always wanted to work in WWE. It's always been, like, my goal. But also there's AEW, which is great. So, you know, now I'm here.
Yeah.
But, you know, you never know.
I don't know. I'd be very excited to see Kevin Steen back in AEW. Right? That'd be pretty cool.
That would be amazing. And the thing is, if you see Kevin Steen, and we'd be like, okay, now we're done. Finally, no more WWE people. And then there'd be a report that comes out and be like, Sami Zayn's contract's coming up soon. You'd be like, okay, one more. Just one more.
Yeah. You know, yeah, at this point, I'm okay with it. At some point, they could move Rampage and have that be a two-hour show, and you could have, like, a giant roster of everybody in the world that's great, and you could have just the most incredible wrestling roster of all time. Let's just go.
I mean, they're already getting pretty close of having the most incredible wrestling roster of all time.
I agree. God.
Yeah.
I agree. It's very impressive, but like,
sure is.
I don't know. This was the one where I was just like, okay, let's cool our jets. Actually, never mind. Let's sign everybody. Let's sign everybody.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
Brandon Rosen says, I question the timing of Lorcan and Birch's beatdown. With more NXT cuts rumored and a new NXT coming, this looks like a lot like when Imperium kicked out Alexander Wolf and then Wolf got released 2 days later. What do you think? Are they done? Hashtag LIW444life. I don't want to speculate too much about that. We already mentioned about it. I hope not.
I see the comparison.
Yes.
But I'm hoping that that's not the case. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I'm hoping they can just go on and be a really good team because they are a very good team. So there you go. Mm-hmm. We got a couple more. Sorry. Ten Rosso again says, also Tempest, so jealous of you for this past weekend. The FOMO was so real all the way here in Melbourne, Australia. But it was so wholesome seeing all the great wrestling journo family together. Just wish I was there to party as well. Love you guys. Hashtag LIW.
Yeah, man. It was a very good time. I talked a little bit about it during the podcast extras, so make sure you check out the audio podcast for this if you want to hear more about that, or if you're a member, go and watch the extras on Wrestle Talk Podcast YouTube channel. It was a very good time. It was just really cool because it was the first time that I've gotten to do like in-person wrestling stuff since the pandemic, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I got to meet Sean and a few of the people at Revolution last year, but this was different. Like, everyone was here for this. Church of Joshi girls were here for this. Denise was here for this. I got to meet Phil Lindsay. That was cool. Like, all the Fightful staff was here. Like, so I just got to meet a ton of people and we got to do like really fun stuff. So
that's cool. Good.
I want to go back and do more stuff like that, but getting into America right now is not fun.
No kidding. Robert Waters says, I really loved NXT this week. That being said, Kaze ni nare. Yes.
That was like maybe the biggest highlight of my entire week, I'll be honest.
Oh, it was good.
No one knew. No one. I was sitting right next to Sean and he was just like, nope. Had not a clue that was coming. And I was like, oh, just so cool. I was also sitting next to Izzy, who had no idea who it was.
Oh, really?
But yeah, you can give her a break. She's young.
Was a dumb title today, wasn't it, Tempest?
Sure was.
Dumb title for a dumb episode of a dumb wrestling show. anyway, let's talk about other wrestling shows that you've been to. You just got back from Chicago. You watched Dynamite, Rampage, and All Out. So
GCW.
And GCW, of course. So how was it? I know I saw the pictures of you meeting everyone on Twitter and stuff like that. What was the whole experience for you like?
The first couple of days before everyone else got there was a little bit rough, just because like not a whole lot going on, and you know, just wasn't like the most fun time or anything. Just sitting by yourself in the hotel room for most of it, because there weren't really a lot of other shows going on. There wasn't really a whole lot to do. I was going to go to a Cubs game on Thursday, but it started raining, so I was just like, yeah, whatever. As soon as we got to like Friday, it was just like the best weekend ever. Right, because like I went to a baseball game on the Friday. That was fun. Love the Cubs. Went to Rampage right after that and sat next to Sean. And then at the end of the show, the Church of Joshi girls all were walking around the floor and they came up and they were like, Sean, and I like pulled my mask down. I was like, Alex, and I pulled out the Tempest mask, you know, as I do, just carry it around at all times. I pulled it out and was like, yeah, that is me. And they were like, oh my God, it's Tempest. Hi, come up to the concourse. You know, we'll hang out. And so we all went up. We all said hi, you know, exchanged hugs, took pictures. And they were like, we're going to GCW right now if you want to come. I was like, okay. So I hopped in Sean's car and we took off for GCW. And that was like a really fun experience, you know, because it's like, you know, it's an indie show and it's during a time when all the wrestling media people in the world are kind of like together in one place. So there's a bunch of like people that you recognize from Twitter, and it's an indie show. So there are just wrestlers walking around. Like Juventud Guerrero was on the show and he was just kind of walking around. So I was just like, oh, that's pretty neat. You know, and this is when I started meeting fans. So shout out to any of the fans that came up and said hi. You guys were all great. That was my Friday night. That show was long. It went until like 2:30 in the morning because it didn't start until after Rampage. So I was tired. But we went and it was good. And then the next day, I went to Pro Wrestling Tees on Saturday. Maybe. I went to Pro Wrestling Tees on Saturday, and Val, the owner, recognized me, and we had a nice chat because she and Luke have talked before and everything. And she was very, very cool and gracious and everything, having listened to a bunch of WrestleTalk content. So that was cool. And then we went to karaoke on Saturday night, and that was a lot of fun. Sean stunned Denise, and she was singing Taylor Swift. And we turned that bar into like a wrestling bar because Sean tweeted out where we were. So it just became flooded with wrestling fans. So that was a good time. Met some fun people there. And then, of course, Sunday was all out. I went to the F4W Q&A before that. Got to meet Dave and Brian and just kind of like hung out with Filthy Tom Lawler for a bit and talked with Andrew Zarian and Garrett Gonzalez and the whole crew. So that was really neat. And then went to All Out, which was, of course, like the best pay-per-view ever. And then I had the fun time of trying to get home, which was just, you know, travel and flights and everything, which is always so much fun. But without getting into a great amount of detail and everything, because we do have to talk about this show, it was a very good trip by the end.
Yeah. I lost my damn mind. Me and Ollie lost our damn minds just watching the show from here in this very sweaty studio. I can't imagine being part of that crowd. Good God, what a good time. I'm very jealous.
It was a different experience from anything. It was like when they did the Revolution tag and Omega kicks out at one after the Golden Trigger. It was like that pop extended over 3 hours for like six or seven different things.
Yeah, it's
just like incredible.
It's amazing. But regardless, we'll probably have more Tempest Chicago stories, TCS. Let's make that a thing on future podcast episodes. But for now, we need to get out of here because we started recording this a little bit late and we need to go live to talk about NXT. So yeah, thank you for listening, everyone. Really do appreciate it. We love you very much. Stay safe. Take care. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.